Before we start the show, I have to let you guys know about our sponsor, Velvet Noir BC. Again, Velvet Noir Beard Care Products, the best beard care product line on the market. You can get yourself any three products for $30. Again, that's any three products for $30. That's the beard balm, any of the four scented beard oils, the peach comb, and the scented co-wash. And for listeners of the Game Plan Podcast, Velvet Noir BC has a special deal for you. If you type in GPTSM in the promo code box, again, if you type in the promo code GPTSM, you will get free shipping on your order. Again, if you use the promo code GPTSM, your next order from Velvet Noir BC will have free shipping. Again, Velvet Noir BC, top two, not two. Now let's start the show. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're here with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margarita. And I'm joined this episode and every episode by the man with the plan, the multi-talented Kennedy Miller. Kennedy, how you doing over there, my man?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you doing?
Other than going stir crazy in my parents' house, you know, I guess you could say I'm doing all right. You know, where can the folks find you on Twitter and all your other social media platforms?
You can find me on Twitter at Coach Ken TNBA. Again, Coach Ken T as in Toronto, N as in New Orleans, B as in Boston, A as in Atlanta.
All right, all right. Once again, Game Plan Podcast brought to you by our friends at Velvet Noir BC, Velvet Noir Beard Care Products. Fellas, during this quarantine, that does not mean your beard needs to suffer. Get the products. Get any three products for $33. The beard oils, the scented co-washes, the beard balms, even the peach comb. Get that. Velvet Noir BC, top two.
Not two.
All right, all right. And getting into the sports, Kennedy Miller, most times, you know, mid to late April begins the most wonderful time of the year for most of us sports fans. And no, we're not worried about Christmas or New Year's or opening presents or anything of the sort of spending time with family. We are talking about the NBA playoffs. We have 40 games and 40 nights. Basketball until 2-3 in the morning. I'm talking about you waking up, going to work the next day or going to school the next day, sitting in your 9 or 10 o'clock class sleepy because you were up till 1 a.m. Watching Denver and Portland. You know what I mean? Right. And the worst part this year is there probably is not going to be an NBA playoffs. And I'm sick. I don't know how you feel.
Well, you know I'm hurt because my favorite player had a great chance to win a championship this year. So he looked like he was coming down the home stretch, and he looked ready, man. And, you know, whether this break is a good or bad thing for it, you know, who knows how he's going to come back now. Who knows even going to be a playoffs after this. So it just totally changes dynamic, and it sucks because it was looking to be a battle of LA, and then, you know, who's going to, you know, is anybody going to dethrone Milwaukee in the East, or is, you know, is going to be a Giannis LeBron finals or Giannis Kawhi finals? I was just intrigued to see how it was going to turn out.
And, you know, the NBA has kind of tentatively, you know, they've got a 25-day back-to-basketball plan. And so in their plan is 11 days of players having individual workouts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they get the clearance, 14 days of 5-on-5 training camps, you know, like just everybody get back into the swing of things, get back used to being around each other, get back in the swing of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to resume the season at earliest, mid to late July. That seemed to be the plan to me from what I read on CBSSports.com. And this, you know, is according to Brian Windhorst, Howard Beck, you know, guys of that ilk. And I'm going to be honest with you, Kennedy. I don't know how to, I don't think this is a great idea. I don't. And the biggest reason why is, you know, just logistical questions I have. So each team has, you know, when the season was suspended, had 13 to 16 games left. So one, is everybody going to play out those last 13 to 16 games? Because teams that you could say, argue some teams that are, you know, in the 8th, 9th, 10th spot, you know, they're jostling for that last spot. You know, some teams would say, yo, we would have gotten a spot or potentially could have fought for the spot, but we just cut the season off, right? Right there. You know, like, do we end the season now, right? And then going forward into the playoffs, do we play a best of 5 or a best of 7 or maybe a best of 3 just to try to get this over with and continue on and keep our regular schedule as far as when does the new league year begin, when does the draft, when is free agency open, when is the preseason, you know, when does the new season begin, you know, all those different kinds of questions. And then, you know, are there going to be fans there? Are we going to play in empty arenas? Because, you know, I've heard it also mentioned they have considered going to just one location and having it being in, like, potentially like Las Vegas, having everybody just in one city. Right. And my whole thing is, all that sounds fine and good, you know, in a perfect world, because that's basically what it is. But if one person catches that Rona, we got to shut this whole thing down.
Right.
So,
I mean, you make great points with it. It's going to be tough, man. Cause you know, like I was watching, the Road Tripping podcast with Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson, and they had LeBron on, and you know, he didn't want to start. He wanted to have like exhibition games and he wanted like training camps. And it's like, geez, LeBron, we're going to start the season in August. Then you basically just starting the new year. And so it's like, you know, I think it should be, if they do plan on doing this, I think it should like be some exhibition games, you know, just so players can kind of shake the rust off, kind of get back in in-game shape, because everybody says, you know, you're not in shape until you actually start playing games. And so a couple of exhibition games, but, you know, I don't think it should affect playoff seeding. Because we talked about it a little bit before we started. A lot of the playoff seeding is locked up. Primarily the teams trying to get that 8th seed. Memphis has a 3.5 game lead on Portland. However, that, you know, now that it's 2 months ahead, it changes, because we thought that Memphis was a lock because Damian Lillard had just went down with a groin injury. He was supposed to miss a substantial amount of time. Also in the East, I'm trying to remember who was the 8th seed, but whoever was in the 8th seed had a 5. Orlando had a 5-game lead on whoever was next up. So it wasn't like they were going to beat, they were going to beat out Orlando, barring anything drastic happening. So I think you should go to the playoffs. I think the early round should be, you know, maybe best of 3, best of 5, which kind of takes away from the NBA's whole, well, we always know who the best team wins because every round is 4 out of 7. But in this case, I think the earlier round should be best of 3, best of 5, and then maybe the conference finals, the NBA finals, be best of 7, so you could truly get those games in for the elite of the elite.
And, you know, I just really thought about this. Like, I don't know why I haven't thought about this before. So the majority of the time, these 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7 matchups, like,
right,
most times those are terribly uncompetitive. Now, you know, sometimes right, you have those rare years in the Western Conference. I want to say that was 09, 2010, 2010, 2011 season, those 2 years, where in the Western Conference, 1 through 8, each team had won 50 ball games. Like, unless you have a year like that, then you're like, all right, we should play. Everything should be best of 7. But most times, I think that round number 1 probably could like, you know, it could use some trimming. We can do best of 5, yeah, or something like that.
It's not any We Believe Warrior teams out here. You know, like, it's not somebody that on paper is like, oh, well, they've given this number 1 seed problem. Like, look at the 1 and 8 matchup and the Lakers and Memphis. The Lakers are going to, at most, take the series to 5 games, and Memphis plays a great game 4, last stand on their home court. And the same thing with Milwaukee and Orlando. Like, there's not even a game plan that Orlando can say that, oh, we have a chance at knocking off Milwaukee. All you can do is pray at that point. So it's like, nah, it's not anything drastic that's going to happen in the first round. You know, maybe in the West, maybe like a 3 and 6 matchup. But, you know, I think clearly the 3 best teams in the West are the Lakers, Clippers, and, you know, probably the Rockets I could see advancing to the second round. And I don't think because it's a shortened round that any of the rest of the teams will dethrone them.
I would definitely agree with that. Now, like I said, like, my question becomes the NBA. Like, my biggest question becomes, like, you know, logistics, you know, and right, I know the NBA wants to have a champion, right? I don't think there's mm-hmm, not been a year since the NBA, you know, came into existence, which there has not been an NBA champion at the conclusion of the mm-hmm season. But yo, man, this is something I don't think any of us have ever seen before. And I don't think most of us took very seriously until they basically locked us up in our houses and told us don't go no damn where. Right. But, you know, hey man, this is something different. And so with the NBA, like I said, I might have said this a little bit earlier, when does your new league year begin? So, like, if we get back to play in July, your new league year normally begins July 1. Training camp begins July 1. Mm. You know, your draft is a few days before that. You know, training camp starts in September. You know, they're starting the preseason a few weeks after that. Beginning of the season starts mid-October. So right, if all that, the entire schedule is being pushed back, when is your draft? 2, when does your new league year begin? 3, when does free agency begin? When does the preseason begin? When does your regular season begin? And then if you're having, and, you know, if your entire schedule is being kind of pushed back, when does the playoffs for next season begin? And the most important question, when do we get back on our regular schedule? You know,
yeah,
like, I think, you know, now I understand why the NBA would want to get out here and, you know, just have a champion, just, you know, to have a champion, because they set to lose $2 or $3 billion. Like, they out here putting these, we out here watching these dudes play 2K on ESPN because the NBA needs to sell these ads, need to get this bread, watching these dudes play horse at their house because the NBA needs this money.
Right.
Like, the NBA has every financial incentive to get back out here and get these checks. Mm-hmm. But logistically, I don't know how this makes sense, especially if all of this planning and all of this hard work and all of this, you know, thinking about how this can you know, potentially work, can be undone if one dude tests positive.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I would, like, shout out Adam Silver for, like, well, Rudy Gobert did come down with it, but when the NBA canceled its season, that's when you knew, like, you know, it was for real. And, like, they did it, obviously, after Rudy Gobert came down with it, but in terms of how it was looked at nationally, they kind of did it very early in terms of canceling their year. So, shout out to Adam Silver on that. But somebody posed a question, you know, you asked, like, logistically how this would all happen. How does the draft lottery work out now?
Because somebody posed, like, if there's no champion, there's no playoffs. Can everybody have a fair chance at getting the number one pick? Should everybody be in the lottery?
Hmm.
Or, it, like, do we change the lottery system?
That, you know, I had never considered that. Like, you know, if there's not a, there's, if there's, you're right, if there's no playoff, if there's no anything, how do we,
right,
how do we pick? Like, how, you know, what's the order? You know, and I think they'd probably, you know, figure that out. Go, you know, worst to first, you know, kind of how the NFL does it. And probably right. Just do it by record, you know, and do it something similar to that. But, you know, all those questions, like, when would the draft lottery be?
Would it still be a thing? Like, would it be like, online, or would it actually still be in a venue? Like, all this stuff.
Yeah, and I think, like, the NFL is dealing with that, you know, kind of, because, exactly. You know, like, you know, how do you, because, you know, the NFL had their combine and things like that before all this kind of, you know, got wild, but, you know, mm-hmm. Things like, at least the NFL is concerned, things like pro days, or, you know, guys coming to visit the facility, or, you know, things like that where they really try to get to know the players and things of the sort, you don't have those opportunities. And so, you know, guys are trying to do, like, virtual pro days with their, you know, Tua Tagovailoa filmed his, you know, had somebody, you know, film his workout, or, you know, you have guys uh-huh. filming their 40-yard dash, so filming all these things. And, you know, you could do this in basketball, too. We can edit out anything I don't want you to see, right? Like, I can really control what, like, you know, what these teams see.
And control the narrative.
Yeah. So, yeah. If, like, a quarterback drops, so, like, if a receiver dropping a bunch of passes, you know, during his workout, he's only going to show the 35 passes he caught. He ain't going to show the 12 or 13 he dropped, or that, you know, over his head, or quarterback is not going to show a throw that might have been too long, too short. Just mm-hmm. he threw a wobbler out there. He's not going to do that. It's kind of like what we do with this podcast here, right? So let's say, you know, because this happens all the time. If I sneeze or you sneeze, or sometimes the connection gets a little bit fuzzy, I'll say, man, ain't don't even worry about that. They ain't never going to hear this, right? There can be a whole lot of that. They ain't going to see this. Look, they ain't going to see me drop that ball. They're not going to see that horrible throw. And, you know, drafting and things like that are already an imperfect science anyway, and teams make uh-huh. a lot of mistakes when they have all this face time with the guys anyway. So how many more mistakes are teams going to make drafting when you don't have all of that in-person, you know, interaction or getting to know people?
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I mean, it's like now you kind of just like looking at the present. So, like, how is this going to like affect for the next couple of months? But, like, the point that you're bringing up is this could affect dudes' jobs at the end of the day, as far as like coaches and GMs by the way that they make their roster.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because I never thought of it that way. Like, you know, a coach can be fired in like 2 or 3 years just because of, he might have picked the wrong player for his system because he wasn't given the right ability as he was years before to evaluate the player.
Yeah, man. Like, that's something that's like, because, you know, like, we see coaches get fired all the time for having horrible draft classes. You know, and that's when they have all the right. access. Now,
right.
Like, what is a margin? Like, no, like, what's a, like, we're always worried about, like, what the people at the top are going to do. I'm going to think, like, what are the teams at the bottom going to do? Like, the teams that, you know, suck at this drafting stuff, that don't do very well year in and year out. Year in, year out, they're right. near the top. Like, you know, the Browns, right? Year in, year out, we see the Browns at the top of the draft. And we just know, whether it's the regime or whether it's the ownership, they don't do a good job at this. So while some people may be worried about the yep. Patriots, you know, how are they going to figure something out? What about the Browns? Like, if the Browns can't figure this out when they got all the access to people in the world, how are they going to be able to figure this out when the most they got to talk to a dude is on Zoom?
Yeah. And then, you know, like, half of the draft is just, like, a lot of people, you know, end up second-guessing themselves, especially at like, people's pro days. And so I think it's a luxury now that they're doing a little virtual thing, but, you know, sitting at the pro day, somebody brought up a great point. You know, you're sitting at the pro days, you kind of already got an idea of where you're going on your draft board. But you're sitting at the pro day, then you hear oohs and ahs from other GMs, and you're like, am I missing something with this guy? Because I don't think I was going to check him, but I'm trying to do my due diligence. And now when the draft comes, oh, somebody gets picked that wasn't supposed to get picked. Oh, well, we need a receiver, but, you know, we are kind of looking at day two. And then now it starts escalating. Like, we see all the time, like, one position gets picked, and it's like people start rushing to pick that position because it's going so far. Or one dude drops, and then everybody thinks something's wrong with him. And so, like Teddy Bridgewater, he had a horrible pro day. Great college career. Horrible pro day. One day. Was looked at as being like a top five pick. Ended up being, what, 30th?
Yeah.
And, he's a quality starter in the NFL. He's not perfect, but he's a quality starter. Can win you games. Can probably get you to 9 or 10 wins in the NFL.
This Rona is messing up everything, y'all. It's messing up everything. But we got to leave it right there. But we will be right back on the other side of the break. This is the Game Plan Podcast. We will be right back. Don't go too far. Yeah.
Last night, so I went to the club.
So I went to the club.
Put on a fresh white suit and a mini coupe, sitting on dubs.
Sitting on dubs.
I'm just looking for somebody to talk to and show me some love.
Show me some love.
If you know what I mean.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Get into on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Follow the show on Twitter, Game Plan TSM. That's T as in Tampa, S as in St. Louis, M as in Miami. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at CoachKen_TNBA. Again, CoachKen_T as in Tubi, N as in Netflix, B as in Blockbuster, A as in Academy. I'll just go with Academy.
I would say, dog, you've been talking about all the doggone streaming services there, man. You've watched them all, I'm guessing, during the quarantine, huh?
Man, I've been trying to find stuff to watch. I'm trying to put my sister on Game of Thrones, actually, which is like probably my first or second favorite show of all time. So she's locked in right now. So it's the episodes are really long. So it's taking her a minute, but that's the only thing I've been watching, really.
Man, listen, you know what show I watched and I couldn't stop watching once I turned it on?
What?
Damn Tiger King.
Oh.
I couldn't turn that off because the first person I saw talk about Tiger King was you, right? Like, yep. We got to the quarantine started. I saw you tweeting about the Tiger King. I'm like, what is this Tiger King? Then I saw a couple more people talking about Tiger King. And I'm like, what the hell is this Tiger King about? Then I got on Netflix. It was like 11 p.m. when I started the show. It entranced me to the point where I had watched 5 episodes. And I was up at 4:15 in the morning. And I said, yo, I got to turn this off. I got to go to sleep. Bro, they had stuff going on in that show. Wasn't going on nowhere else. Because I was struggling to think, right? I'm like, what kind of people would work at a tiger, you know, at one of those zoos, right? And be around dangerous ass animals that can tear you limb from limb, right?
Yep.
And then I found out, like, if you have not seen the Tiger King, I just want to, like, give you a brief warning or just to let you know about the level of craziness you're about to watch. The most normal person in the show is a former Colombian drug lord who had an ATF agent dismembered on his property. He was the most normal guy on the show. The most normal moment on that show was when that worker got her arm tore off by that tiger. And by the end of it, I forgot about that.
Mind you, these are all, like, this is all happened. Like, these are true stories. Like, it's not made up. Like, somebody wrote this. This is all real life situation.
You know what I was going to ask you?
What?
Do you remember, did you ever see Steve Harvey's stand-up special called Still Tripping?
I believe so.
Do you remember when they asked him, they're like, Steve, do you write these strawberry letters yourself? Steve, do you write these yourself? Right? And mm-hmm. he said, yo, I'm going to let y'all know right now. Ain't nobody on my staff that talented to write this crazy stuff people send in to me. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt watching Tiger King. I'm like, there's nobody in the world. There is no writer anywhere that can come up with this here. With this kind of dysfunctional, poverty-driven, syrup sandwich, white trash mess. Like, what was to you, Kennedy, what was the funniest moment to you in that entire show?
Oh man, it was a couple. Well, for starters, so like, you know, when this whole like quarantine thing first started going down, well, before that, it was our spring break for high school. So somebody, I was watching Netflix. It was a young lady had told me to watch this show called Love is Blind. And it's like a, it's like one of those shows where, kind of like one of those love shows that you don't know who you're gonna end up with, and you kind of like they had to like talk through the, like they had to talk through like pods. They didn't see each other, but they had to like connect through emotionally, and then they end up getting married. Okay. And so like when I was about to start watching that, I looked on Netflix to search it, and the first thing trending was the Tiger King thing. So I was like, what is this? And I like lion. Like, if you don't know me, like, I watch a lot of, like, lion documentaries. I got a lion tattooed on my chest. So I like lion, so I saw a lion, and I was like, okay, this got to be something I'm checking out. I'm thinking it's a documentary on some cats. All of a sudden, I see this white man is losing his mind over this woman that doesn't even stay in the same state as him. They're beefing, but it's like they're beefing over the same thing. Like, they both do the same thing. So when we talk about funny moments, first of all, when this man turned into a country singer and put a fake Carol Baskin in his video, that was hilarious. When he had the theory that they had put cologne on his shoes so that the Tigers could drag him under that barrel. First of all, that was how I knew that Carol Baskin killed her husband. She was like, why would they put cologne on his shoes? Because that wouldn't make Tigers want to get him.
Yes.
So you know
yes.
what makes Tigers want to get him.
Like, bro. That was far too particular.
Right. I was like, Carol, you giving that away a little bit here, buddy. Another funny part was when I saw Carol's wedding photos with her last husband, and he had that chain on like he was her slave.
Yeah, like he was in the Flintstones.
Yeah, I said, come on now, what is this? Come on now. But I mean, you know, that whole documentary was crazy, bro. Like, by episode three, I was locked in, and I had to stop episode three. Because I was like, ain't no way I'm going to be watching this by myself. Somebody else got to see this. Somebody else got to see this foolishness. So as soon as my parents got home, my sister got home, I started from the top again and went back to episode one to start watching it again.
What was your dad's reaction?
He was like, this is some foolishness. Because I was laying on the couch watching it. By about episode three, I'm sitting up like, ain't no way. Ain't no way this man Joe Exotic ran for president and passed out condoms instead of
a pen. Dog, I forgot about that. I'm like, yo, man, Joe Exotic out here, you know, trying to support, you know, safe sex. Shout out to Joe for that. But, you know, to me, I think the funniest thing about the whole damn show, and I realized something, right? You remember, well, we weren't alive. Well, we were alive in the mid-90s, but we weren't, like, alive mm-hmm. to remember the right. East Coast, West Coast beef, you know, mm-hmm. Bad Boy versus Death Row. As much of a 90s rap, like, nerd as I am, I'm here to tell you, Suge Knight versus Puff, Death Row versus Bad Boy Records, ain't got on Carol Baskin versus Joe Exotic. All right? Like, that right there. is the most wild thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, bruh. When he had, you know, he showed up at her property and then was talking about, then they bought the helicopter or something, said, I might as well drop some grenades.
The grenade.
I'm like, are you crazy?
Wait, I want to know who gave him her diary. Who gave him that diary?
Like, Joe, I'm like, yo, what is this that I am watching, like, the whole time? Like, you know, and I can only, you know, because my daddy at a certain point is like, why do you watch this stuff? He's always asking, why did I, when I was younger, why did I watch Love & Hip Hop Atlanta? Why do I watch, you know, similar stuff like that. You know, the explanation I had for him and explanation I have for the people out at home that's going to listen to this podcast. Kennedy Miller, have you ever seen a crackhead like dance or sing or perform on the street?
Man, that was Joe Exotic, except in a zoo.
Yes. It's like you can't stop. You can't look away. Like, I swear to God, one time I was driving in Houston. I don't quite remember where I was. I was probably going to Reliant for something. I don't remember. And there was this homeless man. I could clearly tell he was on drugs. You know, he's walking around, you know, he's asking for money, whatever, whatever. He has no shoes on his feet, but he has his, like, he has some slides sticking out of his pockets. And he's singing as he's walking up to cars asking for money. I'm like, hey, man, yo. And I mean, he's singing hard. Like, think about how hard Aaron Hall was singing on some of those guy records. Think about that.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing the runs and the riffs, and he's doing the damn thing. And I'm like, I shouldn't be laughing. I shouldn't be looking. I shouldn't want to pull over and see more of this. But damn. That's how I felt watching Tiger King.
No, I totally agree, man. It was a whole, I mean, from drug smuggling to polygamy to all this stuff going on, man. It was wild.
Oh, I forgot. Then Joe Exotic is gay and he marries two non-gay men.
Yeah. Non-gay. Yeah. That. What is going on? And this is in Oklahoma. Not in the 90s, but about 3 or 4 years ago.
Like,
come on now.
Yo, and I got a question about that, right? So, you know, I guess the Travis dude and, you know, the two dudes he was married to at that time. I guess they said the Travis guy was telling everybody, but Joe, he wasn't really gay. And he was really doing it for the weed and the cocaine and the meth and all the other stuff, right?
Yeah.
Now, we all can be bought, right? But ain't enough Crown Peach in the world. Ain't enough,
man.
But,
bro,
you have another part. Go ahead.
Another part at this man, Travis' funeral, where his mama and his family was there.
Yes!
I'm thinking he's about to tell a wholesome story. This man says, and he put him on my face. I said, come on now.
They're like, he said something like this, like now, about golden nuggets.
Everybody, if everybody worked there, everybody knows about his ball. I said, come on now. What is this?
Like, dog, even, you know, even at funerals with gangbangers, they try to lie and say he accepted Christ at a young age. And they try to tell good stories about him. He got up and he talking about, you know how they had, you know, he put them in my face. What? At the funeral? Like,
and then invited his mama to his next wedding.
And the next wedding was 2 months later.
With 5 people.
Now, there's moving on quick, right? I've seen and heard of folks, you know, like, you know, there's tragedy happens, you know, the end of a relationship, they jump in another one, right? You know, I know somebody, you know, their daddy died in like December, boyfriend cheating on them. They found out the boyfriend was cheating on them after the funeral, right? Had a whole new relationship by February. And all this happened at the end of December. For 5-6 weeks. And I'm like, yo, how do you do that? Like, yo, how you get married to a new person in 2 months? Like, he moved the dude into his house after knowing him for 10 days. Yo, that's a good way to get your whole house robbed. And then, do we have to talk about the conspiracy to commit murder charge?
Man, ain't no conspiracy. She did that.
No, I'm not Carol, but I'm talking about Joe. Joe conspired to kill her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he paid that man. Like, that man, allegedly, he paid him, and then he goes, he doesn't actually go down to Tampa. He just goes to South Carolina and find some cheap hookers and some Mad Dog.
Yeah. He was like, yo, what?
So I'm going to ask you this question, and I think I already know the answer to it. Did Carol kill her husband?
Absolutely. So, when they said that the will had been taken and it had been changed to upon my disappearance, I said, come on now. What more motive screams that she did it? He was about to leave her, keep all his money. So she fed him to the tigers. She didn't cry a single tear throughout that show about that. And tried to make it seem like he had Alzheimer's and he wandered off somewhere. Are you kidding me? You're a murderer, Carol. You're a murderer.
Hey, OJ Simpson got out there talking about Carol murdered Don Lewis. And I'm like, hey, man, game recognized game.
Oh, man. I saw that.
Oh, my God. Yo, man, I'm just being true with you. Yo, if you have not seen Tiger King, you need to watch Tiger King. It is the most insane show I've ever watched. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think, like, black people have, like, the monopoly on dysfunction and ignorance, you know, like, on that stuff you see on, like, Maury or Jerry Springer,
mm-hmm.
I raise you Tiger King.
I raise you.
Yo, man, we got to leave that right there, man. This is the Game Player Podcast. Cam Thomas will be with us next segment to give us a social media bail that we can let us know some of the things he's been doing during the quarantine. Don't go nowhere. This is the Game Player Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at CoachKen_TNBA. Again, CoachKen_T as in Twitter, N as in NBA, B as in Booksy, A as in, I'm trying to look at all the apps on my phone, Adam.
All right. We can roll with that. Joining us right now on the phone is friend of the show, Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas, how you doing, my man?
Man, I'm hanging out, dog. I'm essential out here in these streets, so I ain't even been able to have a chance to quarantine like some of you good folk. But I'm out here hanging out. You know, these virtual shots been adding up. I'm taking a break for right now. My body's tired.
I was gonna say, man, that's a bit of a shock, man, because I've been seeing you on Twitter, man, you're knocking them out day in and day out, man.
We have. We've been going at it with reckless abandon. I'm not even going to lie to you, bro. I don't know how we're still functioning at this point.
You've been doing it that hard? You've been going that hard in the paint?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been real. Like, it's like, I can, some of the stories that come from this quarantine, quote-unquote quarantine, I can't tell you on air. But I will say, like, the one thing that's probably the funniest of them all is that JT fractured his nose 2 weeks ago.
What? Hold on. He broke his nose.
Fractured.
How? Do I want to know how?
We're still trying to figure it out all the way, right? So we haven't quite put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and that's probably because it was 3:30 in the morning. But nonetheless, he absolutely fractured his nose that night.
I hope he's got insurance.
That's all. I mean, he's fine now. I mean, he's bounced back like the trooper he is. But nonetheless, it was a long night.
All right. Just to get to what sports is left at this point, the NBA has a 25-day back to basketball plan with 11 days of individual workouts and 14 days of organized team activities, if permitted by, you know, health officials and things of the sort, to, you know, get the playoffs up and rolling. Cam Thomas, do you think if there is a champion crown this year, there will be an asterisk next to that title?
Do I think there will be an asterisk? Probably so. Do I think there should be one? No, because at the end of the day, somebody still had to go win the title. Somebody still going to have to win four games. Everybody got dealt the same hand, right? So it's not like this thing has affected only one team. So it's not like everybody's got dealt the same hand, right? So will there be an asterisk? Probably, because the world needs some form of a narrative. Do I think it's valid and warranted? Absolutely not.
So I was going to – me and Kenny were talking about this off air before we got the show rolling. Did you think, like, going into all of this, that the Lakers were just going to be able to take this easily? And if you did believe the Lakers were going to be able to walk through the playoffs, do you think that would still be the case now after what looks to be a 2 to 3 month layoff?
I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it, because you would think that it helps the older players on the Lakers roster, like the Danny Green, the Rondos, the Bronze, you know. Anthony Davis's brittle ass could use a break. So, I mean, there's pros and cons to this. Now, I'm not here to say if it helps or hurts them. All I know is this, is that at the end of the day, they still got to get past those damn Clippers. That's the only thing that matters. They get past the Clippers. Whoever wins the Western Conference Finals wins it all. The Bucks are not built to win the title. Let's just call it what it is. They're a cute regular season story. The winner of the NBA championship resides in Los Angeles. We just don't know which team yet.
You were talking to Cam Thomas here on the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy, you got any questions for Cam?
Where my stimulus check?
well, that's not my question, but I do have that.
I'm trying to start me a rap label.
Are you gonna start you a rap label?
What would be the name of your rap label? Dusty Gang Records.
Okay. Dusty Gang Records.
I know most people don't even understand the Dusty Gang reference. Cam, explain the Dusty Gang reference to folks.
Dusty Gang is a group of undesirable men who are tortured and by women via direct message, via a comment on said post, and we tend to talk in their iMessages to our that was on a regular basis. Dusty's Gang. And like, what I'm going to do is, I'm gonna sound like a bunch of like rejected artists, right? So like, I'm gonna go find I'm gonna go dig up J Dog, and then I'm gonna go find Sean Kingston for a little R&B touch. I'm gonna go dig up one of them DeBarge brothers too.
Yeah.
Oh,
what? You gonna dig up Chico DeBarge?
I'm gonna go dig up one of them. Oh, we definitely gonna go dig up John B's useless ass. Now I just gotta find some video. I gotta find some low budget video. I need Club Yakim to open back up so I can go scout some town.
So what I was gonna ask is, like, how would you plan on because we kind of talked about it earlier on, like how if they were going to resume the season, because Alex thinks it's going to be canceled, and I kind of think they still want to end up with a champion. So would you like have the earlier rounds where it's best of three or best of five, or how would you work that out so that the next season can still start on time or at a reasonable time, and then, you know, moving on forward?
I think that would be your best bet, is to have the go back to the older format. I think that was the early 2000s where you used to have the best of three, best of five, and your championship series is the best of seven. I think that's the only way you could probably try to get it done. Because let's be honest, we don't need to go back and forth with these eights and these ones and traveling right back and forth. And ain't nobody got time for that. Look, just we'll figure something out so you go home, so these teams can still get their revenue. But let's just get to the meat of it. We want to see Lakers Clippers. We want to see Bucks versus fill in the blank. Get me to the good stuff. Like, don't tell me about the pain. Just show me the baby. Oh.
Again, we're talking to Cam Thomas here on the Game Plan Podcast. And Cam Thomas, enough of the sports. We're here to do your favorite segment of the show and a lot of the listeners' favorite segment, Social Media Bay of the Week. So, Cam Thomas, who do you have for us this week?
You know, I actually came up with this one while I was on the phone with you guys, right? So, she has risen to fame here, and I would say the last 6 months. But she has an amazing set of assets, and her future is bright. You can find her on your on local streaming services, such as XNXX.com, Yes Porn Please, that is back up and running, Pornhub. I mean, if you really want to go subscribe to her OnlyFans, go for it. I'm not here to say whether you should or should not, but if that's how you live, then, you know, go for it, whatever makes you happy. But, this, like I said, this young lady has risen to fame here in the last 6 months. So we're going to go ahead and induct all of the falls into the Social Media Bay of the Week Coalition. You can find her on Instagram at Autumn, just like the season. A-U, T as in Tom, U as in Umbrella, M as in Margarita, N as in Negro, Fall, F-A-L-L-S. And she threw an X at the end for exclamation. So that's Autumn Falls X on Instagram. And I mentioned Instagram because I bullied Alex for 2 years to get one. And he's finally caved and got one. And he has it. He don't even hit me on Twitter no more. You don't even hit me on Twitter no more. Like, you just living on Instagram. Because, and see, here's the thing. I told you that everything that you see on Twitter hit Instagram probably 2 days before.
There is something to that. And I'd also say this. For certain people who, you know, we really don't care what they think about stuff, this is much better.
Like, here, like a lot of these women that are very attractive are very uninteresting. They're very dull. They're boring. They just look good, right? So on Instagram, we can just see the picture, double tap it, and go. I don't have to see some stupid ass quote that you can derive from some Megan or Beyonce song on Twitter. In the words of my boy Alex, post your ass and go.
Oh, wow.
Kenny, did you just look up the Autumn Falls? Did you just check this out?
Man, I had to go check it out for a minute because I went to school to Autumn Falls, so I had to make sure that I wasn't tripping.
The different Autumn Falls.
It absolutely is.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Autumn Falls will have you whacking your shit to an oblivion. You gonna walk out there with a gun?
Scott Steiner. Oh my god!
Like a complete in oblivion. Like you finna come out here juicy. You finna come out here looking like Bronx.
Oh, man. Cam Thomas, my man. Let the folks know where they can find you on Twitter and all your other social media platforms. And when they can catch you back on the airwaves, potentially.
Me and Jay are eventually going to come back. We have been in a hiatus for like 2 years. I don't know if we're in like podcast jail or something like that, and we need some bond or what. But I'm literally sitting here looking at him right now. And he's just dancing in the kitchen. Like, we could be doing a podcast later. But, like, we just, like, play 2K and Call of Duty at this point in our lives. But you can find me on Twitter at Cam Thomas, T as in Tango, S as in Sam, M as in Margarita. Or if you want to follow me on the Instagram world, which I haven't posted a picture since July of last year, you can follow me at Jasper Pettigrew.
I don't even think we want to know why you picked Jasper Pettigrew, Cam Thomas.
So it was my freshman year, right? And so we were doing this this party in Building 45. And we named the party, the theme of it was Tweets and Freaks. And so the object was we were just going to, you know, have a bunch of tweets going like you were supposed to tweet the DJ your song request, but it was a whole, only women could do it. So it was Tweets and Freaks. And so I had to create, or you had to ask somebody at the party to get whatever you wanted put on the speaker. And so I had to create a Twitter for that, and I never got rid of it. And I was like, okay, I might as well get an Instagram now too, since I'm going down with everybody else and getting into social media. I might as well go ahead and go the whole 9 yards and get an Instagram. So I did, and I just made my name Jasper Pettigrew there too. I've just never changed it. People still actually address me to this day as Jasper.
Yeah, man, we appreciate the time, man. We will talk to you soon, dog.
Hey, man, y'all stay safe out here. Stay strapped up. Stay quarantined. No quarantine babies.
All right, man. We'll talk
to you. No quarantine babies.
All right, dog. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, we will be right back. This is the Game Plan Podcast. We'll be back for our final segment of the show. We might talk some sports. We might not. But Kennedy Miller has got to tell you this story about how he went to the store for those neck bones. Y'all, we'll hear about that on the other side of the break. This is the Game Plan Podcast. Don't go nowhere. Before we get back to the show, we have to remind you guys about our sponsors, Velvet Noir BC, Velvet Noir Beard Care Products. You can get yourself any three products for $33. Again, that's any three products for $33. That's any of the scented beard oils, the scented co-wash, or any of the beard balms. And just for listeners of the Game Plan Podcast, you can get free shipping if you use the promo code GPTSM. Again, free shipping for listeners of the Game Plan Podcast if they use the promo code GPTSM at checkout. Even during the quarantine, fellas, keep your beard looking right. Kennedy Miller, I see your beard. It's coming in. It's looking moisturized. It's looking right. Testify about the goodness of Velvet Noir BC one time.
Listen, I'm on my second set of Velvet Noir BC products. It's been working wonders. It's a good fragrance. It's smooth. It's not overly greasy. Your beard's not overly greasy. You're not just leaking everywhere. And overall, it's a good product, man. I get it. Fellas, you're in the house with your lady all the time now. You can't just have a scruffy beard all the time. You got to get something that, like Velvet Noir, it's gonna help you out. Check it out.
Velvet Noir BC, top two.
Not two.
Now back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Follow the show on Twitter, Game Plan TSM. T as in Tony Parker, S as in Sam Bowie, M as in Marvin Williams. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at Coach Ken _ TNBA. Again, Coach Ken _ T as in Tim Thomas, N as in Nick Van Exel, B as in Brandon Wright, A as in Anthony Harris.
All right, all right. Last segment of the program here, but we can't go any further. I'm letting you guys know and remind you guys about our sponsor, Velvet Noir BC, Velvet Noir Beard Care Products. Fellas, again, don't let that quarantine stop your beard from flourishing. Go get those products, fellas. Get the products. Get your beard right. Use that promo code GPTSM for that free shipping. Velvet Noir BC, top two.
Not two.
All right, all right. And final segment of the show here. And, you know, we short on the sports stuff. So, you know, we kind of grasping that straw, scraping the bowl, you know, trying to make it stretch for y'all. And so we found something I thought was a little bit interesting, and I'm going to get Kennedy Miller's reaction on it. So on BleacherReport.com, there's an article in which they redraft the 2005 NBA draft class.
Okay.
So going number one to the Milwaukee Bucks, Chris Paul.
Ah, yes. That draft class. Gotcha.
That one.
Okay.
Because it's almost, I think that's a class that's almost forgotten because LeBron, Carmelo, D. Wade, and T.J. Ford and all those guys were 03. 04 was Dwight Howard and J.R. Smith and Josh Smith. And they're 05.
Yep.
So they're kind of in like a no man's land almost, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I think LaMarcus Aldridge and those guys were, LaMarcus Aldridge, Brandon Roy, Randy Foy were 06, and Oden and Durant were 07. Five. I think I've got that right.
And who? Okay. Okay, keep going. Keep going. I'm interested to see who else is picked.
Number two to the Atlanta Hawks, Dan Williams.
Dan Williams.
Darren Williams.
Oh, Darren Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The actual pick was Marvin Williams, who?
Marvin Williams.
Can't shoot.
Hawks chose him over Chris Paul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't UNC win the championship that year?
Didn't. Who won the championship?
UNC won, like, I think UNC won the NCAA tournament the year, like, that that NCAA tournament before that draft. So I think that probably, because Felton went, Sean May went, and Marvin Williams went.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that's part of the reason why Marvin Williams went so high.
Number three, to Utah,
mm-hmm.
Danny Granger.
Danny Granger had a solid. He had a solid couple year stretch. Started battling some injuries, and then Paul George came and kind of took his role from him. And but Danny was nice for a minute.
Yeah, he was. And you know what's crazy? Do you know the entire reason San Antonio ended up with Kawhi Leonard was because they drafted Paul George in that draft, and they was like, yo, we can't have Paul George, Danny Granger, and Kawhi Leonard on the same roster at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how terrifying that would have been?
Yeah, especially with the way the basketball is played now with, like, a lot of wing guys and stuff.
Next pick, New Orleans, Andrew Bogut.
Andrew Bogut was solid. Dealt with too many injuries, though, but, you know, when he got traded to Golden State and he could just play his role as a rim protector, he was a really good passer, a really smart player. And I thought he was going to make a difference for the Cavaliers in 2017, and then he broke his leg 15 seconds into the game, his first game.
Number five, going to Charlotte, David Lee.
David Lee was a good one, too.
I think.
A couple all-star appearances.
Mm-hmm.
He got his spot taken from when he got hurt by Draymond Green, which propelled the Warriors to, you know, championship contenders. It's a champion, really.
Yeah, well, that's one of the most forgotten aspects of that. Like, going into that Steve Kerr's first year, Draymond Green was like the backup four. Yep. And Steve Kerr was like, I don't really like this dude because he's fat and out of shape and he talks too damn much. And then David Lee gets hurt and it's like, this is the dude we've been missing this entire time.
Got hurt in the preseason and then they just unlocked their offense to another level. Because the year before that, they lost to the Clippers, I believe.
Yeah, in a seven-game series, that was Mark Jackson. That's the last game Mark Jackson has coached.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number six, Portland, Andrew Bynum.
You know, I always remember Andrew Bynum had a 30-30 game. And it's like two things I always remember when the name Andrew Bynum comes up. One, he had a 30-30 game. Two, I remember it was a debate on like old First Take, and Skip Bayless was saying that he would rather have Andrew Bynum at that point over Dwight Howard. And I was like, this guy's a lunatic. Like, who would say that? And, man, it
it's crazy how people's careers have like panned out over that time. Because it was at one point, and I thought Andrew Bynum was like the next, you know, great big. And then, what, he cracked his kneecap bowling and never played for the Sixers.
Yeah.
And didn't play for the, I think only played a couple of games for the Cavaliers.
It was, man, it was bad. That was it. Like, he got traded that Dwight Howard trade, and that was the end of his career.
Basically, yeah. He grew his hair out, and they had all those old woman jokes.
Like, that, like, he was done at that point. Pick number 7 with the Toronto Raptors, Lou Williams.
Wow. I didn't know Lou Will came out in that draft.
Yeah. Out of high school.
Yep. You always kind of forget, like, how old Lou Will, well, how long Lou Will has been doing this. Like, because they have pictures of him with the baggy suits next to AI. Like, yo, like, Lou Will been hooping for a long time.
Dog, I ain't even gonna front with you. That was a violent amount of fabric they had in that picture.
Oh, man.
Like,
it was too much fabric.
Bro was dressed like Uncle Curtis from Tyler Perry's House of Pain. But, you know, and I also, like, Lou Williams came out of high school, kind of sat behind Allen Iverson, and all of a sudden, like, he became a dude who can score. And you're like, oh, man, this dude is, like, a volume scorer of the likes of which, you know, 3-time sixth man of the year. You know, like, this is one of the best, like, just pure scorers we've had in a long time in the league, you know. And I think he's kind of been forgotten because he's bounced around a while. It took him a while to, like, the, I would say, the early to mid-2010s to really find his footing. You know what I'm saying? 5-6 years in. But once he
did. And then, you know, now he's caught himself really being on a contender for the first time in his career.
Yeah. Very true, very true. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying now it gets kind of magnified now. Because, I mean, the last, what, 3 or 4 spots he's been in, he was in Toronto, then, like, Houston, the Lakers. Now the Clippers, and now he's playing in, like, you know, West Coast playoff games, playing against, you know, the eventual champions and giving them buckets. So now it's like he's becoming more of a household name. Like, everybody knows that Lou Will is going to give you about 25, 30 a game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have the last two, and then we're going, the people going to hear your story about these neck bones. The New York Knicks and Marvin Williams.
Yeah, that's more of where Marvin should have been, because he solidified himself as a solid role player throughout the league, kind of like a 3-and-D guy in this league. But, you know, he wasn't worthy of being the number 2 pick in the draft, if you're looking back on it now.
Yeah, I think he ended up – he's averaged 15 points a game for his career, very strong defender. Yep. But, yo, man, he can't shoot.
Yeah.
Like, he just can't really shoot. Very durable guy, but picking him at 2 is something I think the Atlanta Hawks, like, kicked themselves for doing.
Yeah, and you think about, like, what if Chris Paul was on that team with Josh Smith and Al Horford and Joe Johnson? Like, how much better would they have been?
Oh, man. That, whoo, scary.
Because, like, they were talented, but in my opinion, they never really had the floor general. Like, Jeff Teague, he wasn't really the answer. And then, you know, you had a guy like Chris Paul with the athletes that they had and the bucket getter like Joe Johnson was. Oh, man, it's a totally different ball game, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Number 9, with the Golden State Warriors, their actual pick that year, Monte Ellis.
Okay. Oh, that's who they actually picked. Yeah.
Yeah, that was our actual pick.
Monte was that guy for a minute, man. I remember, you know, like, going to Hightower, it was like everybody had, they hung out with, like, their group of favorite, it was a group of kids, whoever had the same favorite player. So I was a LeBron fan. We had, like, a group. It was a group of Kevin Durant fans, group of Kobe fans. And then it was one guy. He was a Monte Ellis diehard. and I was like, why is this guy Monte Ellis fan? And one night, like, I think the Heat had played him, and he gave him, like, 25, 30. And I was like, okay, I see what he's talking about.
You know what's crazy? I just looked at it again. So the Warriors actually drafted Monte Ellis in the second round that year. Pick 40.
Oh, wow.
Pick 40. So, like, who they actually took the ninth slot was a gentleman by the name of Ike Diagu.
Oh, yeah. I used to play with him on 2K for a little bit.
I didn't know he existed, to be true with you. And lastly, the last pick of this top 10 redraft, the LA Lakers taking Raymond Felton.
Cheeseburger Felton. Cheeseburger had a nice little career out of North Carolina, man. It was one year the Knicks just had the Heats. Like, they just had their, like, they, I think they beat them at least two or three times in the regular season, and a big part of it was because of Cheeseburger Felton, man. He was hoping that year. We didn't have an answer for him.
So, and I think, like, he's a guy that I think is a, like, a pretty good NBA point guard, like a good veteran, right? Like, you know, a guy that, you know, had a very, very good career.
Right.
Very good career. Was never a star like Chris Paul or a Darren Williams or anybody like that. But, like, you knew one thing that dude could do, he could run a team.
Yeah. He was a good point guard. And he's somebody that, like, if you see him in, like, a regular gym, he's going to give everybody buckets. Everybody.
And, you know, that's the end of the 2005 redraft, at least the part we're going to go through here on from BleacherReport.com. And Kennedy Miller, you know, most of us have been, you know, going out, doing things, you know, risking our health to go maybe get some food, or maybe, you know, for some people who, you know, enjoy some other, you know, extracurricular activities in that way, if you understand what I'm saying, you know, go, you know, they got to burn one, you know, you pull up something, you know, or if your lady is in town, you know.
Hey. Right.
But Kennedy Miller, you risk your life on behalf of your mama and your granny for some neck bones.
Yes, sir.
Kennedy, just tell that story. I just want to hear it. Let the people know what happened.
So I wake up and I'm instructed to go to the store. Because my grandma has a few things that she wants me to get. She wants me to go to Fiesta, of all places. So I go to the store originally for some green beans, some peaches, and I think some rice. So while I'm there, I try and call and make sure that I'm getting the right stuff, these green beans you want. And so this is like early quarantine, so I'm kind of not taking it seriously. I got my mask in the car, but I'm not taking it seriously. I'm washing my hands, though. But I get in Fiesta, and I see that I actually have to get the green beans, like, pick them. I see that other people are, like, picking them with gloves, and so I'm like, man, they got me in Fiesta picking these green beans. I ain't got no gloves on. I'm gonna get this Rona. So I'm calling, making sure I'm getting everything right. So she said, oh, and one more thing. Give me some neck bones while you're out. I said, some what? Some neck bones, some crystal light, some peaches, some green beans, and some rice.
Yo, hold on. Stop right there. Hold on. How is neck bones first on our list?
Come on now.
Continue.
So I immediately tweeted it because I said that if I go down with the Rona, it's come from this day. Because I was back there in the frozen meat section. I said, I know I'm not about to catch this Rona. Getting some damn neck bones for my grand. And so for all the people that tweeted, was it worth it? Alex, them neck bones were delicious. Oh, and if she asked me to go get them tomorrow, I'm going to go get them tomorrow.
That boy, he said, if I could do it again, I wouldn't have it no other way.
Yes, sir. You already know.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. We appreciate you guys for hanging out with us here during the quarantine. We hope we've kept you guys entertained for this hour and change. You've rocked with us, you know. So, Kennedy Miller, let the folks know where they can find you on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Coach Ken underscore TNBA. Again, Coach Ken underscore T as in Rudy Tomjanovich. N as in Robert Neville. B as in Jerry Buckheimer. And A as in Alvin Adams.
All right. I like it. You follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Follow the show on Twitter, Game Plan TSM. That is T as in Tiger King. S as in Spencer James from All American.
Oh, gosh.
And M as in Madea. And I'd like to make a side note about All America. Olivia Baker can have all of my children. All of them. Expeditiously. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Samantha Logan, I followed her on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Let me find that.
Olivia.
Yeah, let me find her.
Patient.
Yep.
And even Layla. Layla not bad looking. She not the best one, but she's definitely not bad looking either.
I'm going to tell you what, though, man. If I see Olivia Baker or Patience out just anywhere, right? If I see them on their ass, I'm going to go. Hey, man, I'm just being trill. But
I understand.
We got to give a shout out to our sponsors, Velvet Noir BC, Velvet Noir Beard Care Products. Kenny, I see your beard still, you know, doing what it's doing right here in the quarantine, still staying moisturous in the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, because, you know, I ain't got it trimmed in a minute, so it's growing a little bit, but I'm trying to keep it moisturized, keeping it healthy, and still trying to maintain a good beard out here, even though I'm at home every day.
I feel it, man. I feel it. But this has been the Game Player Podcast, everybody. We will see you next time. For Kennedy Miller, Alex Goodwin is my name. We'll talk to you soon.